Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the NFL preview Okay, technical difficulties there, but we're back on. And welcome to the NFL pregame show, Divisional Round Edition, Day 2. I'm Dylan Goldman, along with Eric Watkins, and we've got two more amazing games on tap for you today. It'll be hard to replace the amazingness of last night's game between the Cardinals and the Packers, but let's talk about our first game on tap today. It's a regular season rematch between the Carolina Panthers and the Seattle Seahawks. Carolina's hosting. Eric, the Panthers won the Week 5 meeting. How do the Seahawks turn it around?
Well, in that Week 5 meeting, that was one of those early season, you could call it slumps, that Seattle was on at back-to-back years. And that started to with together, or they got their defense together. They were really back into it. You saw the old Legion of Boom get together. Chancellor was back, started getting adjusted from there. But then as you got towards the later end of the season, Seattle finally put things together on offense. You had that amazing stretch from Russell Wilson in 5 games, 19 touchdown passes, no interceptions. And I think they're going to try to recapture some of that magic today. They got their defense straightened out, as evident by their 10-9 win in Minnesota. So this is going to be more of a complete team, not to mention you also have the addition of Marshawn Lynch. Help solidify the running game. You'll probably see going back to more traditional read option, get Russell Wilson open in space, and really test not so much the middle of the field, but more the sidelines, to see if they can burn Carolina deep.
I totally agree with you there. And with we just mentioned Marshawn Lynch is back for the Seattle Seahawks. He was out for a while with an abdomen injury. How big is this for the Seahawks that they get Beast Mode back and he's going to start in place of Christian Michael, who started while he was injured? How big is Beast Mode now that he's back?
This is huge. He's Beast Mode for a reason. Always a power runner that if he can get to the second level, he's got enough speed at the end to just run away, literally, and break long touchdown runs. They're going to use him, especially early in the game, to tire Luke Kuechly, the other linebackers. They're going to stack 7-8 in the box. Hand off, get him those hard yards early, get him back into the swing of things, and then open up the passing game more, open up the read option more, because Carolina now has to respect it. So then later in the game, go right back to him, run down the clock, or get bigger chunks of yards. So it adds a little more power and strength to the Seahawks game today.
Yeah, I totally agree. The addition of Lynch is huge. I mean, there's a reason why they call him Beast Mode. He's a powerful, bruising running back. It takes about 5 guys to bring him down. And it's going to do a lot for the Seahawks team. It's going to allow Russell Wilson to have more time, because obviously we're going to see a lot more runs from Lynch today. We're going to see a lot more in the running game. So that'll open up the passing game. It'll open up the play-action game. And it'll be very important, because now we're going to see a balanced attack from the Seahawks again that they were missing ever since Thomas Rawls, the backup, was injured against Baltimore, and then he was out for the year. So this is a very important addition, and it's huge for the Seattle team. And I definitely think it'll make a huge impact on them today. We'll see if that helps out and see if they can win the game today. Now, going over to the Carolina side of the ball, Cam Newton has been dominant all season. How does Seattle try to shut him down today?
Well, the hard thing with shutting down a guy like Cam Newton is he can burn you both ways. He's gotten more comfortable in becoming a pocket passer, especially although he doesn't have his top receiver, Benjamin, hasn't had him this year. He can look to a guy like Ted Ginn Jr. going deep. He can look to Greg Olsen for intermediate routes. He's got so many comfort zones in the passing game. But then if he lulls you to sleep with a passing game, all of a sudden he's scrambling around or even on a designed quarterback draw, and he's running 5, 10, 20 yards. So you really have to decide which one to contain. Do you want to keep him in the pocket, force him to make some more difficult throws, or do you not want to give him time in the pocket, make him scramble, and then test your luck that way, hoping that he doesn't break a tackle or pull a juke to inside or outside and make longer runs? So you have to really decide which way you can contain him better and then take your chances and hope that he still doesn't beat you.
You know, I totally agree. I think it's important that they keep him in the pocket. It's hard to shut down Cam Newton. He can beat you in so many ways. He can beat you with his feet, with his arm. He can beat you in so many ways. If you can keep him in the pocket, prevent him from using his feet to beat the Seahawks defense. We all know the Legion of Boom, how good they are. If they can pressure him, force him to stay in the pocket and look and make Newton beat them with his arm, then I think definitely the Seahawks, with their Legion of Boom defense, have a chance at stopping Newton. But we'll see. I'm curious as to see how that happens because Newton has been so dominant this year. All right, so coming into divisional rounds, 15-1 teams have not had so much luck in the playoffs. The 98 Vikings lost in the NFC Championship, the 04 Steelers lost in the AFC Championship, and the 2011 Packers lost in the division round. Does this give Seattle any edge or boost of confidence coming into today?
Yes, simply because it's not always the biggest and the baddest regular season teams, just from the examples that you gave them, to win the title. Plus, if you look at the record of Super Bowl champions going back the past decade, the majority of them have been 10-6, and in the case of the Giants, when they won their second ring, 9-7. So the fact that you face a lot more adversity and more challenges in the regular season, so you get more momentum and more to look back on come playoff time. Plus, if you're hot, like with the Carolina Panthers, they had that incredible winning streak to start the season. Yes, they did lose, but bounced back and got to the playoffs on a winning note. You establish a certain routine, and getting that first round bye breaks your routine. For Seattle, that's not the case. They were able to go, finish off, yes, get a little rest, right into the wild card game, keep that same momentum and preparation going into this week. So Seattle is much more comfortable and has things more set, whereas with Carolina, they have to reestablish themselves. So it's that timing that's really going to give Seattle an edge.
You know, last week, the Vikings in the wild card round held the Seahawks just 10 points. Granted, they were in frigid conditions. How did the Panthers do that again today and try to stop the Seattle offense?
Well, it's going to come down really to the secondary. With Josh Norman, with all of his accolades this season, shutting down top receivers, first of all, who is Seattle going to get to cover him? Are they going to put him on against Doug Baldwin? Are they going to put him against Lockett? Are they going to put him against someone else? And you see, okay, test him early. And if Josh Norman is stepping up, then you automatically know you're restricted to half the field. Second of all, can they get pressure on Russell Wilson the same way Seattle needs to get pressure on Cam Newton? Because Russell Wilson, smaller guy, but just as capable and has run this read option offense perfection. So do you have to have that same mentality? Do you want to keep him in the pocket and rely on shutting down with your passing game? Do you want him to scramble out and risk him breaking a 10 or 20 yard run of his own? So you have to make him uncomfortable like Minnesota did. And with Minnesota, they used both facets. They shut down the running game early and consistently, made him one-dimensional, then their secondary took care of the rest. So that's ideally Carolina's game plan going into today.
You know, I totally agree. And, you know, I think it's going to be harder for the Panthers to stop the Seahawks today. One, last week's game was played in frigid conditions, and obviously that will not be played in today. And two, Seattle has their running game back with Marshawn Lynch, but that doesn't mean Carolina cannot stop them. They have to make sure they're pressuring Russell Wilson constantly. And the secondary, like you mentioned, has to come up big. They have to stop all the receivers that have been key for Seattle this year, whether it's Tyler Lockett, whether it's Doug Baldwin, whether it's Jermaine Kearse. All those wide receivers have been explosive in all ways. And Russell Wilson, if they can keep him in the pocket like the Seahawks have to do to Newton, they're both very mobile quarterbacks. They can beat you with many different weapons. So they have to make sure they keep Wilson in the pocket like Minnesota did last week, pressure Wilson, and make sure that he has limited time to throw. We all know that the Seahawks offensive line has been shaky this year. So I definitely think Carolina has the defense to get it done. They've had a great defense all year. And I think they do have what it takes to stop a Seattle offense like this. But I do think it's going to be a lot tougher considering the fact that the weather is actually not going to be played in Antarctic conditions and that Seattle has a running back. So, moving on, give me key factors for both teams in today's game.
Well, the key factor is who is going to be more efficient on the ground. You have Jonathan Stewart back for Carolina. You've got Marshawn Lynch. Which power back is going to have a bigger day? And the second key factor, as these teams pretty much mirror each other, who's going to blink first? Who is going to make a key mistake in running this option offense? Be it a turnover, missed opportunity on third down, not cashing in on the red zone. The past couple games that these two teams have been played in the playoffs have been tight defensive battles. Are we going to see the same today? So really, who's going to blink first? Key factors. As you wear on second, third, and especially fourth quarter, who's got enough mental focus left to keep their eye on the ball?
You know, as you mentioned, it's very important that both teams get the running game going today. As those teams get their running backs back, Stewart also was hurt for a couple weeks ago in Week 17 against the Buccaneers and the Falcons. So he's been out a while too. Not as long as Lynch, but he's been out. I think it's important that both teams get that established. And who is going to make the big play when it comes down to it? I think we all know that this is going to be a close game. It's going to come down to the wire. Who makes the big play on offense? Is it going to be Wilson or Newton? And who makes the big play on defense? Who gets that turnover? Who gets that big special teams play? It all comes down to that in the playoffs. We saw that. We've seen that so far in this playoff. It all comes down to that one key play. I'm interested to see who makes that play. All right, on to our favorite part of our show. It's the picks. Eric, who do you have in this game?
I pick Seattle. Last week, to start the playoffs as my Super Bowl champion, I'm going to pick them today, but just like with Kansas City and New England, it would not surprise me if Carolina won whatsoever. But dancing with the team that brought me to the dance, I'm taking Seattle 20-14, not going to see too much on offense. It's going to be yet another grind, and I think Seattle can grind it out.
You know, I agree. I think I'm almost forced to make this pick just given the fact that I picked Seattle as my Super Bowl champion. They are just hot at the right time. They're making the plays necessary. Last week, they won almost on a miracle with the missed field goal, but they're here. and they want to win this game. They're hungry for Super Bowl revenge after what happened last year, and I think they get it done with Marshawn Lynch back. That'll make a big impact on this game. I think Seattle is destined for another Super Bowl run. I think they have enough. I know Carolina would be the sexy pick right now, but I'm going to pick Seattle. They're my Super Bowl champion. I think they get it done today. And our other three hosts who couldn't make the show, I'll mention their picks. Our other host, Josh E. Laurie, has Carolina winning this game. Our producer and host, Stephanie Diaz, has Carolina winning this game. And our host, Stephen Err, has Seattle winning this game. So moving on to our second game of the day, we have the Denver Broncos and the depleted Pittsburgh Steelers. So, Eric, Antonio Brown, the top Steelers wide receiver, is out today for the Steelers. How big of an impact is that going to have on the offense today, and how are they going to work around his injury?
Tremendous, because you're losing 10, 12, 15 catches in upwards of 120 yards on offense. And as an interesting stat, you'd mentioned the depletions. The Pittsburgh Steelers today are the first team in the Super Bowl era, so you're going all the way back to 1966, to play in the playoffs without their leading rusher and without their leading receiver. So you're going to have to put together a lot of patchwork, knowing that you don't have a guy with the same elusiveness, you don't have a guy that same speed, you don't have a guy to where you can throw it up 40, 50, 60 yards and he can catch it. And on top of that, look at Big Ben. He's dealing with his own injuries. Messed up AC joint, torn ligaments in his shoulder. How far can he throw the ball? Are you going to be relying on more of a dink and dunk, almost Patriot-style offense, where you rarely see the ball go more than 10, 15 yards downfield? So you're going to see Heath Miller, a lot of these other receivers step up today simply because they can't win the same way with the health stands now.
You know, I agree with what you just said. The without Antonio Brown, this offense takes a big hit. Reminder, they're already missing their starting running back, Le'Veon Bell, and then D'Angelo Williams, their backup. Ben Roethlisberger is hurt. This team is depleted. But Brown, out of all the players that are injured and that could have played in this game, is the biggest impact. This guy, I mean, these two teams just played about 4 weeks ago, and you saw Brown was the catalyst in the Steelers' comeback. He had 15, 16 catches or something like that. He had a couple touchdowns. I mean, this guy can do it all. He plays a big impact in the screen game. He can do his intermediate routes, and he can go long. He's the receiver that you would pick at the end of the game to throw it up to in the end zone, and he'd catch it. Without him today, the Steelers are going to have to rely on their other weapons, Martavis Bryant, Keith Miller, Marcus Wheaton, even their running backs, Fitzgerald Toussaint and Jordan Tomlin will have to play a big impact in the receiving game. Will they go, and it also depends on Ben Roethlisberger's health. I heard a report saying that he was throwing 20, 30 yards in practice. Do we see him able to throw balls like that with that distance today? I am not sure. But, I mean, without Brown, that is a huge loss, and the Steelers are going to have trouble working around that loss, but they do have weapons still. Martavis Bryant, we all remember the catch he made last week. So they can work around it, but it's going to be really, really hard to do so. So, Eric, when the Steelers beat the Broncos in Week 15 a month ago or so, Brock Osweiler was starting. Now Peyton Manning is taking the helm. Does this help the Broncos?
It really does, simply because, yes, he came off the bench Week 17, sparked a victory going like 5 of 9, 69 yards. You're not playing the same Peyton Manning that threw 55 touchdown passes 2 years ago. You're seeing a Peyton Manning that Father Time came and delivered a big sack. He struggled, not with the same chemistry. And now, just as they were establishing a chemistry with Brock Osweiler under center, making deeper throws, getting his timing down. Now you're going back to this same Peyton Manning, who was right around even in touchdown to interception ratio. So you combine this rust with just lack of capability, and I think the Steelers, if anyone, are a defense that can really exploit that. You're not going to see the same deep throws. You're going to see more handoffs, more running, deeper dropbacks, and a lot more shorter passes, because that's what Peyton Manning has done this year. And then the Steelers are really going to be able to pick up on that.
You know, I'm not going to say that it makes the Broncos any worse, because Peyton Manning is obviously one of the best quarterbacks of all time. But he's also not the quarterback that a couple of years ago was breaking all kinds of records in the record book. You could search up a record and he was breaking it. But it does help the Broncos. He brings a veteran presence. But the Steelers are a defense that's aggressive enough to bring pressure, force turnovers, and then maybe we could see Osweiler again. I'm not sure about that. But it does help the Broncos in a positive way. He brings a veteran presence. The team did probably, they got into a chemistry with Osweiler and they switched over to Manning. And Manning really gave them a spark in that San Diego, which they needed to win to wrap up the number one seed. So I do think that Manning helps out the team a lot. He brings a veteran presence, and he's obviously very talented. However, he is not the one that was breaking records just a short time ago. So it's going to help the Broncos a lot, but I'm interested to see if Manning throws two or three interceptions, do we maybe see Brock Osweiler? That's what the Broncos have to their advantage, where they have two very good quarterbacks. So with the Steelers' depleted offense, they still have Ben Roethlisberger. How is this top five ranked Broncos defense going to try to completely shut down Roethlisberger and force the Steelers to run the ball with their backup running backs, Fitzgerald, Toussaint, and Jordan Todman?
Get to Roethlisberger early and often. You hate to see where, like, with reports of an injury, you know defensive linemen are going to get that as a target, get a couple hits early, not so much to try to knock him out of the game, but knock him off his game. And if you wind up seeing Landry Jones, who knows? But that's always going to be the key. You don't really have to defend terribly deep. Even though receivers like Martavis Bryant can catch a deep ball, you really got to defend those first 10, 15 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. Roethlisberger's not going to have too many deep throws in him, so he's going to rely a lot more on checkdowns, short routes, trying to get guys open in a soft part of a zone defense. If you can cover that zone, and if you can get pressure to Roethlisberger with your front four, allowing your linebackers to sit back a bit and help your secondary in coverage, that's going to force the Steelers to run the ball. Then you can do your damage there.
I totally agree with you. As we are close to wrapping up this episode of the NFL pregame show, give me key factors for both teams coming into today's game.
Which star quarterback will help be healthier and bring his team another win? Can Peyton Manning set up what could be the final chapter of the Manning versus Brady rivalry? Or can Big Ben, with that Midwestern grit and toughness, etch his name further into Steelers lore as they march and get him a third ring? It's going to be down to which quarterback will be more of their old selves today.
All right. Give me your pick for this game. Who's going to win this game?
I'm going to pick Denver simply because of the mile-high mystique. Don't be surprised if you see a role of reversal and Brock Osweiler comes and leads the team to victory in the fourth quarter, maybe overtime, 24-21.
You know, I'm going to pick the Broncos as well. I just think the Steelers are too depleted in order to beat Manning at home. I know it's cold and it's the playoffs and Manning struggles in those situations, but I'm picking the Broncos. I think they'll win 23-13. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think the Broncos get it done with their defense. On to our other host picks. Our producer and other host, Stephanie Diaz, picked the Broncos. Our host, Stephen Err, picked the Steelers. And our other host, Josh E. Laurie, picked the Steelers. All righty, so that's a wrap for our NFL pregame show, Divisional Round Edition Day 2. The Seahawks and Panthers game is coming up here at 1 o'clock on Fox. And then the Steelers-Broncos game at 4:40 on CBS. For my co-host, Eric Watkins, I'm Dylan Goldman. Make sure to listen to the NFL pregame show, Championship Round Edition, next week. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the games today.